Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
I do want to get to these calls before the news, and for those that are just tuning in, we had a good conversation for about the last 15, 20 minutes of the 6 o'clock hour. Health-based, this story coming out from Philly Voice, a Bucks County man with diabetes is suing 11 major companies for marketing addictive, ultra-processed food to kids. And this is in the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas. Bryce Martinez, 18, of Warrington, who was diagnosed at 16 with type 2 diabetes after, and also a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, after years of consuming bagel bites, Swedish fish, honeycomb cereal, Gatorade, Tostitos, and every other thing that is advertised on Super Bowl Sunday. And now he has ended up with all sorts of health issues. My stance on it, I would toss it. I'd have no tolerance for this as a judge. No paydays. Either as an adult, personal responsibility and accountability. If you're a minor, well, then it's on the parents. Parents have to do a better job. And if you guys want to jump in on that story, we've been talking about it for a little bit. You can do so. 855-839-1210. We've got people that want to jump in, whether they are in the medical profession or not. But let's start with the expert. Let's go to Dr. Craig. He is in Mullica Hill. He's got some firsthand knowledge on this. Dr. Craig, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning, Nick, Dawn, and talented team over there at 1210. Hope everything is well. Wanted to give you a good example historically. When you're talking about addictive substance and poisons, I mean, we talk about cigarettes, we talk about alcohol, now cannabis so that the government can collect tax money off of it. And food additives have been around for a long time, but nothing's ever been done really with those. The FDA really has lied down on the job on that one. But let's talk about cigarettes because, you know, as it was mentioned, that they remain legal. They're regulated, which is one approach, but that makes them permanent, and the government collects taxes off of them. And we all know when a government program collects taxes off something, it's never going away, despite it being one of the biggest killers in our society.
Sure.
The reverse of that would be kind of a libertarian approach, like the Wild West. Well, you can have anything you want. You could play with nitroglycerin. You just can't use much of it. And if you blow yourself up, you blow yourself up. So, you know, it's a slippery slope. It's a very slippery slope. And who makes the calls? And the calls that have been called over the last 100 years have been completely arbitrary for me. I mean, you know, when the government in New Jersey said, hey, we need some more tax revenue. Let's legalize cannabis. There are some people that want it. And boom, it's big business. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. It sort of seems like an all or nothing. And we started with nothing, you know, prohibiting alcohol, which is a poison and toxin. And it is caloric. It does make you fat. It makes your liver fatty for sure.
Well, and also think about this, Craig. All of these vices that have an addictive nature that were once illegal becoming legalized. I mean, think about it from a gambling standpoint. Remember when sports betting and casinos were banned? It was only Atlantic City and Vegas. Now, all of a sudden, when the government government can get their VIG and their cut. We have casinos everywhere. We have FanDuel and DraftKings sports ads running 24/7.
You've got it on your phone.
Yeah.
You've got it on your phone in your hand. Yeah, 100%. Once the government can collect taxes off of it.
Yep.
But you're right. It seems like it's all or nothing. And we went from nothing 100 years ago. And we're headed quickly toward all with the government taking a cut. Yeah. And I'm hoping that in the next 4 years that we'll take some swipes at that cut.
Yeah, it's a good point. Dr. Craig, thank you very much. I think, too, and I might be wrong, but I think I'm right on this. Cigarettes, the cost of them, whether they're $8, $9, $10 a pack, it's almost entirely tax that drives the price up on those. I don't know that the cigarette companies, if it's $8.50 a pack, I think I read something years ago that it's like 88% in tax is what you're paying.
I haven't smoked in years.
You smoked?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Oh, well, like back in the high school days?
Yeah, in the 90s. What does a pack of cigarettes cost?
Close to 10 bucks.
Is it?
Yeah.
Very expensive.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's crazy. It's outrageous.
Yep.
855-839-1210. We'll continue on with your calls, but let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:09, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live. This Friday the 13th, 25 degrees, clear skies. Today we have a sponsor today, Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, sponsoring our 7 a.m. news. A shootout in Philadelphia's Wissanoming section under investigation. One man is dead. The man who is accused of shooting him is cooperating fully along with witnesses. That's from police this morning in Philadelphia. They say they found a guy in his either late teens, early 20s, shot in the head outside the shops of Wissanoming, Harbison Ave, and Tulip Street in Philadelphia. Happened late last night, and that has kept police overnight into the wee hours of the morning. They're continuing to investigate this. They say that in the parking lot, there was some kind of a shootout that erupted, guns drawn, and at the end of the day, one young man or teenager ended up dead. The others, as far as the witnesses and the person, the accused gunman, stayed on the scene, called police, fully cooperating. We don't know the motivation there, trying to get to the bottom of that one. You know, we have the updates on Luigi Mangione, the accused killer of that brazen killing of 50-year-old CEO, United Healthcare Insurance CEO Brian Thompson. The latest here is that New York prosecutors are working to make sure that he gets extradited much more quickly. That indictment could happen any moment. So I know that even the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, speaking out about that late yesterday. But what's shocking about this is what's happening with regard to this GoFundMe. Checking this, this group of individuals have raised nearly $73,000 in his defense fund. Their goal is to raise $200,000. And this has left officials, law enforcement, as well as those in the prosecution team saying that they are worried. They're fearful that this accused murderer will be turned into a martyr in the headlines.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what's happening. He's become a pop culture phenomenon. He's an internet sensation. People justifying his actions, adoring his looks. I've never seen anything like this. Not in my lifetime.
They're calling him a hot assassin. It's a crowdfunding website, GiveSendGo, created by a group calling itself the December 4th Legal Committee.
It's unbelievable.
Referencing the day that Mr. Thompson was gunned down, shot repeatedly in his back.
The December 4th Legal Committee.
They need to find everybody who's donated to this and go and arrest them.
I was just going to ask you, what does it take to start a GoFundMe? Do you need proof of the cause?
No.
So here's my thought, because I could use a little extra cash. I'm going to start a GoFundMe.
No, you're not.
I mean, if these people are dumb enough to donate to a murderer, my cause is way better.
Yeah.
Really? You people are $73,000?
Wait, what's your cause?
The liquor store. Like, really? These people give away their money. We live in a society of stupid people.
Yep.
Stupid.
Yep.
Which brings me to the next story. This was a story that made huge headlines and really destroyed the lives of several young men. back in 2006. This is the woman at the center of that Duke University lacrosse rape case.
I remember that vividly.
Finally now admits she lied. She made the whole thing up, accusing these three young men of sexually assaulting her.
Yeah,
back in 2006.
20 years later.
We actually have the video.
Do we?
Crystal Magnum.
Yeah.
Mangum?
M-A-G-N-U-M,
Mangum.
I think.
Mangum, sorry.
From North Carolina. Yeah. By the way, she's in prison on murder charges.
Oh, so she's a killer and a liar.
Convicted of second-degree murder for stabbing her boyfriend with a kitchen knife.
She's a beauty.
Mm.
And when I say that, you have to see this video.
Yeah.
Oofa. Mm. She came to their frat house as like a stripper, right, or something?
Mm-hmm. So somebody hired her as a stripper at a party.
I would have seen her as a stripper, I would have head for the hills.
Holy crap! This was, 18 years ago.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Was this the start of the Me Too movement? I forget when that started.
The Duke, I mean, this was
2006.
Rolling Stone, right? Wrote all about, all right, roll Crystal Magnum.
And I testified falsely against them by saying that they raped me when they didn't.
Yeah, ruined their effing lives.
And that was wrong.
Yeah, you think?
And I betrayed the trust of a lot of other people who believed in me. And made up a story that wasn't true because I wanted validation from people and not from God. And that was wrong. And I hope that they can forgive me.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, a quarter of their life got wasted. But yeah, we'll let bygones be bygones. I'll bring you a holiday.
Hey, she found God now, so everybody will forgive her.
Yeah. Duke lacrosse players, the Bills punter, Trevor Bauer. Maybe we can stop the facade of just always believing the alleged victim. Maybe we let facts play out before we rush to judgment and let the legal process play out before we just assume because somebody's playing the victim that they are actually victims. Just a thought.
The coach was forced to resign. They were champion lacrosse on a champion lacrosse team. They ended up leaving Duke. They canceled the rest of the season for Duke. And DNA evidence failed to, match any of the players on the team. And so if you may remember, the public defender was making this a racial thing.
Yep, of course.
The DA.
Yep. White privilege.
Yes.
Duke lacrosse players.
White boys with their privilege.
Yeah.
Raping a poor minority woman who's just trying to get herself through life, having to strip.
Yep.
Oh, God, the narrative on this was disgraceful.
That's why identity politics is divisive and needs to go.
As I recall, the DA in that case, who was grandstanding and holding all those news conferences, he ended up, getting fired, essentially, disbarred or what have you. The university ended up spending more than $100 million on legal fees, settlement costs, other expenses. And like I say, as far as the young men, I know that they sued and they received settlements, but their lives during that time obviously disrupted.
Yeah, ruined.
So it was a devastating situation. And it's just, to your point, the DA was the one who needed to just wait for the evidence and not make it, and he made it racial.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Of course, that's what we do.
I know.
Play the race card, even if it doesn't fit any narrative. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
And this was before the...
It's ruined people's lives.
The run of corrupt DAs started becoming a thing. This was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. 18. So we've talked about the Biden administration brushing off the real mystery, I guess, of New Jersey drones. And as well, these drones have been seen across the Pennsylvania, across our region, Philadelphia region. Top lawmakers across our region, as well as New York, New Jersey, they are all demanding a federal briefing, some demanding that these things get shot down. This continues to make headlines this morning. And there was they released a New Jersey Assemblywoman, Dawn Fantasia, I should point out. She had pointed out that they have had up to 180 sightings a night. Per night in areas of New Jersey.
Wow.
That this is not normal and this should not be brushed off.
180 a night?
A night. So that's
Nothing to see here, everybody.
Nothing to see.
The White House. Kirby.
This is the most interest that anything has been drawn from the state of New Jersey in a long time. What is going on over there?
Don't we have F-15 pilots or something like that can go out and you know what I mean? I don't know.
Remember in Independence Day when they sent up the F-15s and they were trying to figure out what those little things that were hovering over the cities were?
Yeah.
And then they got nuked. Let me send them up. Where's the guy, by the way? It was the crop duster. Remember at the end he says, "I'm back." Love that guy. What was his? Russell? I forget. Anyway.
Anyway.
Oh yeah, somebody on the YouTube chat has a really long handle, so I can't pronounce it. But Nifong was the DA, right? From the Duke LaCrosse thing, Nifong.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yes, it was. That's yep. Yeah, and he was, I believe,
disbarred.
Disbarred. Yep. I reported that he was disbarred. So, yep. The mysterious drones in our region, though, this is making national news, as many people are saying that they'll become vigilantes, they'll take matters into their own hands. But senators and lawmakers from across the region, this is even as far as Texas, they're saying shoot these things down.
Yep.
So that one's going on as well. Other headlines this morning, we've talked a lot this week, so just a quick follow-up. This is the story of a lady named Bernadette Gaudio. She's a mom from the Main Line. She remains hospitalized in critical but stable condition this morning. She is able to speak with investigators, talking more about what happened the moment when armed men came into her home in the middle of the night. This was Sunday, early Sunday morning. Bus broke into the home, burglars apparently, but she was shot. Her 25-year-old son, her youngest son, was home and was shot to death trying to protect her. His name's Andrew Gaudio. This remains under investigation, but we're learning more as far as they took one suspect into custody. He is facing murder charges in the murder of 25-year-old Andrew Gaudio and charges with shooting the mom, but they are still searching for this man considered armed and dangerous, 42-year-old Kelvin Roberts, somebody who had a long rap sheet and was wanted already. There were outstanding warrants for this guy's arrest.
Shocking.
So considered armed and dangerous, still out there on the loose.
That son's a hero, by the way. Mom, as you said in the first hour, was basically helpless in bed. And it's honestly a miracle that she survived.
And Nick, she survived, but she may never walk.
Yep.
I mean, she was shot. They shot her as she was laying there in bed. I mean, a defenseless lady. And so the
cowards.
Yeah, it's horrible. We had this big protest yesterday, as you know, apparently hundreds of people were mostly by car. From what I saw, there were people on the street, but a lot of people in their cars with signs in Center City trying to cause congestion to show you what it would be like if the Sixers get their way and if our mayor gets her way to have this Center City Market East arena in Philadelphia. So they were trying to create what it would look like, as that's their take on this, as they protest the 76ers proposed $1.3 billion arena. This on the same day, the Philadelphia City Council cleared the way preliminarily, but cleared the way for the project to move ahead. They still need to have a critical vote, and that has been delayed multiple times. Looks like that may happen next Thursday.
Is there any doubt that this is going to be, at least from as we approach 1 year of the Sherelle Parker era, this is her pet peeve, this is her toy, this is her project. Like, this is, if she only serves one term or multiple terms, like, this is what she wants to be remembered for. Mm-hmm. Of all the things that Sherelle Parker can be doing, has done, is expected to do, hopes to accomplish in year two, year three, year four, whatever it might be, seems to me like the Sixers Arena project is the thing that people are talking about the most as far as what, like, her agenda is. And I'm not saying that's good, bad, indifferent, but it just seems like right at the top of the list, if you say the Sherelle Parker era, Center City Arena.
Yeah, because it will infuse at least $1.3 billion in, and this, by all reports, City Council, everybody says, all the developers say, everything that's come out publicly, this is not a tax dollar funded project in any way. And so what they say, it creates jobs and it infuses money and rehabs our city, especially after the pandemic shutdowns.
Yep. There you go.
So there's the latest on that one. Speaking of prices going up, PECO customers, that's me. I don't know about you. Yeah, rates going up again. So the PUC, the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission, approving rate changes that PECO requested. We had seen a report, a study that said we in Pennsylvania pay at least 45% more in our energy costs than the rest of the country. So these prices are going up. So if you use electric customers, PECO, who use 700 kilowatt hours per month, you will see your bills increase. They're saying on average $14 a month. Depends on how much power you use.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to raise those rates even more. They wanted to raise the bills, let's say, on average $16.50 per month.
Speaking of 14 and rates going up, also for those out there who have YouTube TV, YouTube TV just bumped their prices 14% starting in January. You're going to go from paying $72 a month to $83 a month.
That's huge.
Still much cheaper than the big cable providers, but I think according to the story I read, YouTube TV's cost went from like $35, $40 a month 5 years ago, now up to $83 a month. Yeah.
Hopefully these prices with a new year and a new administration, we'll see what happens with these rates. But
do you think Trump's going to bring down YouTube TV?
No. He already said yesterday, by the way, he's being roasted for his backpedaling of the grocery prices.
Yeah.
Did you hear him say it's going to be very difficult to lower grocery prices?
Shocking.
Well, the way you lower everything is you lower the energy cost.
That's right.
And we know he's working on that.
Yep.
So, that's the big one. If you lower the delivery costs, essentially, and correct, all the energy costs, then everything should go down. The reason that they have to raise these PECO rates is because everything, including energy, is mm-hmm. more expensive.
Yep.
So there it is.
I was yelling at my daughters last night. They turned the light off.
Yeah, so it looks like they the charges for delivering power to homes and businesses, they wanted to raise these by 12.3%. It's going to go over 10% instead of 12. Mm. That's the headline. But remember, they've been going up every year.
All right, we have to break.
PECO. So we are sponsored this morning by Joseph Anthony Retreat. We do need a break, Greg Stocker. And that's why you need Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Secrets of finishing your holiday shopping. 3 locations. Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online. JosephAnthony.com. Where gift cards are available. JosephAnthony.com. Kale & Co. News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. The cut sheet is coming up at 7:45. Sean Farish at 8:30. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, as we are just a few days away from ending their great donation bin. If you know a friend, a family member, or if you want to help a child out in need for the holidays, stop by any of the Piazza Auto Group dealership locations and donate an unwrapped gift to a child. Any of the Piazza locations, they're all over the Delaware Valley. You know where to go. You know the locations. You know the dealerships. Do something for somebody else, and they're glad to help you if you show up with a donation, should you be in the market or the need for any automotive service or a vehicle. Do it today. Check out any of the locations. If you don't know where they are, PiazzaAutoGroup.com, and they're very grateful for your charity, your generosity, your donations, and they wish you a happy holiday.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
As far as the drones go, I just saw on the Fox Morning Show, car-sized drones spotted off the coast of Southern California.
Uh-oh.
So we have seen some stories. There's been a few of them in California, most of them obviously in Jersey, some in Pennsylvania. Of course, we had our guy that shot one down from Walmart in Florida and then told the cop, yeah, I shot it down. I'm not going to lie to you, officer. Take me away. Is that a felony? Actually, it is, sir. Yes. I need to read you your Miranda rights. But now we have them in California. Be interesting if they hovered above Gavin Newsom's house and they were like, you know what? Let's get the hell out of here. Let's just leave. Nothing interesting going on here. 855-839-1210. Let me grab a call. Steve is in Norristown. I think he wants to jump in on our conversation we were having with food earlier. Steve, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Yeah, all the blame that you put on the parents, I think there's a big point to be made that these food companies have been lobbying and pushing a lot of this food in public schools and school lunch programs. Like Kraft Heinz was giving Lunchables to kids, and they're actually teaching kids in health class, don't food shame your classmates. It's okay to eat cupcakes, and there's no such thing as junk food.
Mm-hmm.
So they have food lobbyists pushing the Department of Education and schools to actually train kids to eat this food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what can a parent do when they're busy and they're being told, hey, we'll feed your kid breakfast and lunch? And they pulled the Lunchables not long after a big podcast had a couple doctors on saying, hey, you know, these school lunch programs are going to lead to kids being on Ozempic.
Well, here's the thing.
Wegovy.
Yeah. No, and by the way, wait till we find out the reports of the side effects. Thanks for your call, Steve.
Of Ozempic?
Of Ozempic and Wegovy. Everybody thinks that this is the magic elixir to losing your pot belly. Okay. We'll revisit that one in 2029. But to your story on the parents, I would say this. Well, the parents too busy? Too busy for the health of their child? Just listen to what the government says? Just listen to what the schools say? No, that's not good enough. And, yeah, I'm aware that some people can't afford. There was a stigma, and I don't know if you guys experienced this, Dawn, with your kids, or Greg, since we're about the same age. When we were in school, if you packed the lunch, there was this presumption that you were from a better, well-off family. And if you bought school lunch, it was because you were cheap and poor.
Mine was the other opposite. Way. Yeah, mine was the other way. If you brought a bag lunch, you're like, what, can't afford pizza on Friday, stalker? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow. unless I'm misremembering, I always thought it was the other way around because you'd have like a really nice sandwich, you'd have your whatever drink, you'd have your cheese stick, your piece of fruit, a yogurt, some chips. Whereas a lot of kids, too, by the way, in public schools, if you come from an unfortunate situation, the school lunch is provided for you. So it's like, well, you got to eat something, and if it's not good for you, mom and dad don't make enough money to buy you the stuff at the grocery store. There was a time I thought that Lunchables were relatively expensive, were they not? Now I think you can find them like 10 for 10, which, by the way, the Lunchable, have you ever felt the turkey or the ham in the Lunchable?
It's disgusting.
That can't be. There's no way that's edible.
It's disgusting. My son saw it in the grocery store a couple months ago because it had Super Mario Brothers on it, and he was like, oh, I need this.
Yep.
So I'm like, against my better judgment, I bought it. He took one bite of the turkey. He goes, this is terrible.
It's awful.
I'm like, yes, it's awful. It's not food. I shouldn't have bought it for you. I gave in a moment of weakness, but luckily you didn't even like it.
Oh, it's just painful.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I don't know. Dawn, did your boys, how did they do the whole lunch packing versus eating in school? I know that your boys attend an all-boys school. So, I don't know, what do they serve like?
Well, their grade school was Norwood Fompon Academy, which is a Catholic. It's run by the Sisters of St. Joseph, Catholic. So that one was boys and girls.
Okay. Decent food, though?
So that was K through 8.
Yeah.
And they had, it was Miss Annie's, this lady named Annie, who's a sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
And she, because it's a smaller school, had delicious, healthy lunches.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
it was like home cooked. It was such a convenience.
And you get what you pay for,
and
right?
Fresh cut up, you know, apples and strawberries. And
wow.
It was really fantastic.
Okay. See, I went to school. It was Johnny Marzetti on Thursdays, the Bobo Elio's Square Pizza on Fridays, chicken patties, chicken nuggets, french fries, hoagies, and taco boats. That was the rotating menu of in the Easton Area School District.
That's funny.
Which probably led to diabetes and cardiovascular disease and all sorts of other stuff because a lot of it is processed garbage. So, yeah, very interesting. I love talking about the health angles. We'll see what Bobby Kennedy is able to do.
But Nick, it's the marketing. That's a piece of this particular lawsuit is about the marketing. And remember when there were the lawsuits with the Camel cigarettes?
Oh, of course.
and that was that big lawsuit.
That's right, because the camel
they marketed to the children
was for children.
Because it was a cartoon.
It was a cartoon camel.
Anybody looked at that camel was like that camel. Like, it was smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. But it was a cartoon.
Oh, please!
And these companies, I'm telling you, the tobacco industry. There are all these laws written about that.
Vulture lawyers
that you're not allowed to make these campaigns and market to children.
Yeah.
So I suspect that this lawsuit will get some traction because they were marketing to children and telling parents that these items were healthy.
If I'm the lawyer, though, for the food industries,
yeah,
my initial argument would be the parent needs to be the buffer, right? Okay, you're going to say we are trying to manipulate the utes, and on the other side is the manipulatable, I don't know if that's a word, the ute. But the parent needs to be the buffer and say, you know what, okay, you can have this, but we're going to do it in moderation, or you're not going to eat it at all. And I just don't know how you find a company liable for for lack of parenting in the targeted demographic that you're seeking to do business for.
Well, I know this is a Bucks County lawsuit.
Yeah.
If I'm the lawyer for the 16-year-old who's now 18, I'm trying to get it into Philadelphia because we are known as a lottery that pays everybody.
They say it's in the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas.
Yes, so that's why they filed it. Philadelphia, we are like a broken, I shouldn't have said lottery, we're like a broken slot machine.
Right.
And we're known, we're famous nationwide for that.
Out.
Yep,
yeah.
We pay out. So if I'm the companies involved, I'm moving to a settlement because I don't want the precedent in the court. Yeah. I don't want any court record. Well, I want to go right to a settlement, do a private settlement.
Say,
hey, kid, we want to give you whatever, because that way you don't define all of these terms. You don't have all of this out there.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, this is precedent. And then we get a slippery slope of, are we really going to be living in a nation where every single item that could conceivably cause harm has to go through this sort of litigation and scrutiny?
Yes.
I don't want to live in that country. Well,
we've been in this country for 50 years. I mean, like that, ever since, you know, people realize and lawyers realize that they can make a buck off of companies with big pockets, they do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the lawsuit specifically, here's the thing. If the lawsuit were just about, oh, this food, is it illegal? They would say, this food is perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the issue. The issue is, and there is precedent on the marketing and the labeling. That's what they're going to go. That's what, if you read it, that's what they're talking about.
There's also this portion to this story from the Philly Voice where it says a lot of the food scientists have not been able to come to agreement on what exactly is, an addictive. So they can come up with all these results from surveys and studies that says, well, a glass of red wine a day is actually good for this, and coffee for this is good for that, and too much of this is bad. Yet we can't come to a consensus on this.
You have to be careful, too, when you hear these scientists talk about these studies. Who's paying for the studies?
Right.
You have to be very careful because, like I said earlier, the sugar lobby pay, the corn, you know, all of this, they do because it's in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can say, no, it's not our industry. It's that industry over there.
Right.
And then you get all these, you know, like, how long have we heard? It's like, well, too much red meat. If you eat too much red meat, it's bad for your cholesterol. It'll give you heart disease. Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's true.
I know. I mean, what would you think about it logically? Would you rather eat organic vegetables, or in this case, you're talking about beef? I would much rather eat, and obviously it's expensive these days, but I would much rather eat beef or anything that they say, well, too much of that will kill you, versus something in aisle 5. I always bring up my wife's uncle. He, and it's been talked about for years, the healthiest stuff is on the perimeter of the grocery store and all the bad stuff is in the aisles. I mean, is he wrong?
No.
Seriously.
No, he's not wrong.
I walk into my local Giant in Bluebell. Right to the right, there's the produce aisle. I whip around the back, there's the deli, then the seafood, then the beef and chicken butcher. And then you get to the milk and the cheese, and you wrap back around to the breads, and then you come back up to the checkout. But you go down all these aisles, and the amount of garbage that we just... And honestly, I would say this as far as the health thing. You know, it's really remarkable that the average lifespan is 74, 76, whatever it is in this country. Honestly, everybody should be dropping dead like the men in my family do at 61.
It's funny, too, because if you remember, somebody on the YouTube chat brought up, you know, eggs and butter and all that stuff. eggs and butter are not bad for you. It was this time period where we were like, eggs and butter are going to kill you. Here, have margarine.
Yeah, so says Lipitor.
You know what I mean? It's all these fake studies that have come out by these big groups that are lobbying to get their stuff on the shelves and make their stuff more popular. So everybody's like, we can't eat butter. We have to eat margarine.
But within the framework,
which is not
eggs,
natural,
it's also better to eat the egg whites, right?
It's actually not.
Really?
It's actually not. No. Because
I actually love the egg whites better.
The yolk has the good nutrients, the good cholesterol. Yeah, if you're trying to cut weight.
Yeah.
Egg whites are probably better for you, but naturally making you healthier, the whole egg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard boiled egg is fantastic for you.
No carbs.
It's a natural food. It's and we got to this point where everybody was like, no, eggs are bad for you. Eggs, don't eat too many eggs. Don't eat too many eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very skeptical of these studies that come out that says this is bad for you now. And this is, you know, just do your research. That's all I'm saying.
What a time to be alive. 855-839-1210, the phone number. Sean Farish at 830, the cut sheet coming up on the other side. And lastly, on the health front, too, because, you know, you've got Bobby Kennedy, and he obviously has a lot of initiatives that I'm on board with when it comes to, you know, the food industry and the health industry. This is going to be, and I think I've said this when we were talking about Trump's appointments and nominations, you know, of all the people that are going to face pushback. You know, like Tom Homan's got to deal with some of these Democrat governors with deporting illegals in big cities. I don't know that anybody's going to face more pushback. And Trump's got to deal with the economy. You drill, hopefully you get energy prices down, which gets food down, right? The border, you can do executive actions. I think these are things that we should have some pretty quick success in, not in days, not in weeks, but in a handful of months. Nobody's going to face more pushback than Bobby Kennedy. If you think about all of the people that are going to be impacted with their bottom line financially, does anybody have more power at their disposal and more resources to fight against the Trump agenda than the food lobbyists? Think about that, right? We talked about the Department of Education and how Trump wants to send it back to the states and how that's a long shot. It's probably like a 10% chance that can ever happen. I would argue that what Bobby Kennedy is about to step into and face with all the bureaucrats and lobbyists in D.C. is going to dwarf anything, right? Like we talk about the pushback with nominations with Gates and now with Hegseth. On down the list, if you think about anything with this Trump team for the second term and the pushback from media, from Democrats, from Rhino Republicans, I don't think anything will top the challenges that Kennedy faces. Do you guys think is there anything out there that will be more difficult to overcome? Because this,
Tulsi Gabbard.
No, I think Tulsi's got a much better chance of getting in.
Nope. I don't.
Really?
I don't.
Nope, she's the one.
I said this. You're right, Nick Kale. You're correct that there's a lot of lobbyists and a lot of people who are going to get who've gotten super rich over the last 50 years.
Because
that
it's
are not
food.
Gonna, yes.
It's pharma. It's
agreed.
Ag. It's not just one thing.
But the one thing Tulsi Gabbard has that scares the living S out of everybody is she knows where the bodies are buried, quote unquote. And the military-industrial complex, far more powerful than the food lobby. Far more powerful.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking globally. I was thinking domestically, but that's a fair point.
Yeah. Plus, RFK Jr. has some weird bipartisan support. Tulsi doesn't. She doesn't. She's like, you know, because there are war hawks in both the Democrat and Republican Party that do not want her in there. And look, I'm not sitting here waving the Tulsi Gabbard flag.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that if you're asking me who I think is going to have the hardest time getting through,
interesting.
I think it's going to be her. Pete Hegseth too. I think. Although Fetterman, did you see Fetterman?
He's been very base lately.
He's been
hard. Yes, right.
Yeah. Well,
first one to meet with Pete Hegseth.
Yes, and we have an interview coming up with him where he was just like, I don't know why everybody's so weird about me meeting with him.
I know.
You know what
he's
I mean?
Just a wang.
He's on Truth Social.
Yeah, Fetterman is on Truth. Yes,
he did his first Truth.
It's unbelievable.
And by the way, like, yeah. Well, all these Fetterman things that we like Republicans point out, and like, oh, it's the revelations of Fetterman, and then I get the occasional people. You do realize he's full of crap. He's still a progressive. Like, I get it. I'm being tongue in cheek when I say Fetterman's going to be on the Republican ticket in 2032. But it's fascinating to see how level headed he is on some issues where other Democrats kick and scream, and Fetterman's like, who's this jerk off over here? You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I God forbid if you acknowledge a Democrat that is on board with a Republican. Oh, my God, Nick, don't do that.
I got to tell you guys, too, growing up when I did, the progressive mindset used to be the John Fettermans. The Bill Maher's, the Joe Rogan, like that used to be the progressive mindset. Mm-hmm. It's changed a lot. So like, it's not that Fetterman has changed. He's just tapping into that old school liberal mindset that was around when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. He truth weaponizing the judiciary for blatant partisan gain diminishes the collective faith in our institutions and sows further division. And so he, in his first truth, it was Tuesday night. I reported it Wednesday morning. Maybe I did it like at 10 or something.
Oh, you saved it for you.
I didn't see it Tuesday night.
You need to save things for
But I go both ways. But he was suggesting that Trump and Hunter Biden should both be pardoned. So he was defending the president, Biden's pardoning of his son, but saying Biden should also pardon Trump.
Mm.
That was his first, and he's the first Democrat to go on True Social.
He's just a wang.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Manu Raj, we'll play it for you in a couple minutes. I'll play it first coming out of the cut sheet. Manu Raj, who interviewed him, and he was like, he just went off. He's like, I don't know. I'm going to talk to the guy. I don't know all these. Like, he basically said, I don't know who he is. You know what I mean? Like all these news stories, I'm not following. I want to just talk to the guy, look at him face to face, have a conversation with him, and be done. And Pete Hegseth said, after their meeting, it was basically like, he's a great guy. He's completely reasonable. Yeah, we don't see eye to eye on everything, but like, who cares?
Imagine that. Two politicians on different sides of the aisle, not actually hating each other as much as we are told to believe.
Yep.
Yeah. And Fetterman,
good night, everybody.
Fetterman, first Democrat to meet with Hegseth, but he says he's not ruling anything out. He didn't say, oh, I'm not going to vote for him, anything of that nature.
Yeah. Like Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins have.
Yeah. Let's be honest, Fetterman.
Joni Ernst.
Fetterman was like,
Joni Ernst hasn't said.
I mean,
Joni Ernst.
Do we really think that she's not getting it? You know.
Yeah. Girlfriend's going to get primaried.
Well, so is
she knows. Sean Dawn. Girlfriend's going to get primaried.
Sean Farish was on.
Better watch out. Yep. You better not shout.
Was on X last night saying Murkowski needs to be primary too. Oh. So, like, you know.
Oh, Sean Farish was on X last night. I did not know. 855-839-1210.
Better not cross Trump. I'm telling you what.
Speaking of singing, Sean's got a holiday song.
Yep.
He's going to give us a classic coming up in 40 minutes. The cut sheet is up next as we continue live on a Friday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg back after this.
Oh, wait, hang on. Dawn, tell us about conservative
tours.
Yes,
I'm singing about Italia. Oh, my gosh. You know that I fell in love again with Italy on our last trip, conservative tours. And I do know why Italy, if you look at all the research on it, Italy is the most revisited country in the entire world. I hope you join me next spring on the Italian Riviera. And, yes, this is our big gift. And we did this last year, too. This is our big gift to each other, not just Larry and I, but to Michael and David. They're coming too. So the four of us going to Italia, Northern Italy this time. Yes, Lorenzo and Romina, they're going to be back with us. They're the best. And conservative tours crafting this incredible itinerary that's sure to enchant us. Tuscany, the Riviera, the Northern Italian Lakes region, Cinque Terre, and dining events you're going to write home about. 5378. That includes your airfare. Yes, it does. 5378 Pisa, Michelangelo's Florence, the fashion capital of Milan. Call toll free of a couple of spots left here from what I'm hearing from Ken Chase. 888-733-9494. 888-733-9494. You can always just go to conservativetours.com. Luxury hotels, a Mercedes coach, and a tour leader who is absolutely the very best. That's Conservative Tours in Italy. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Charming Siena, home to Il Palio, the medieval Manhattan, San Gimignano, Medina, Lake Como, Vernaggia. I could go on and on. I hope you join me next spring in Italy. Go to conservativetours.com before it's too late, because this is almost 100% booked up. I'll see you in Portofino, conservativetours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Every Friday night, FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is giving all customers a bigger payout on select NBA first bets. First bets let you get in on the action from the opening tip. It's really an amazing feature, honestly. It's so cool when the Sixers have a terrible season, are having a terrible season. It makes watching the games a lot more interesting, because you can bet on them as they're happening. You can bet on who will score the first basket, which team will be the first to 15 points, and so much more. And then you can turn it off as soon as the Sixers start losing. Best of all, you don't have to wait the whole game to see if you won, see? Just look for Friday First in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. Visit FanDuel.com/Greg to claim your Friday First profit boost. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA and 1210 WPHD, 21 and over. President PA, opt-in required, max wager amount applies. Bonus issue does not withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Spring Dance Hot Tubs. It's 12 days of savings. Hot tubs. Spring Dance Hot Tubs from December 12th to the 24th. So it started yesterday and it runs through Christmas Eve. Get up to $5,000 off hot tubs and $2,500 off saunas, and 20% off of water care for the first 20 customers that sign up for their new auto ship program. Only at Springdance Hot Tubs. Visit springdancehottubs.com. It's a perfect Christmas gift. If you want to get me a sauna, I wouldn't mind. SpringdanceHotTubs.com.
Without further ado, Let's find out what Stalker has lined up for a Friday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Friday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. Relationships really do matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Thank you, Judith, and everybody for sponsoring What's on the Cut Sheet on this important Friday morning. I said I would start with the Fetterman thing. This is Cut 13, Phil. So Fetterman met with Pete Hegseth yesterday and was asked before he went in about meeting with him. And he's like, I don't know. I want to talk to the guy. I don't know who he is. I'm sure we agree on some things and disagree on others. Mm. But, like, let's have a conversation.
Yeah. Is Fetterman saying that just because people have opinions on social media, you shouldn't just talk to people individually?
I'm not.
I thought we figured everything out on X.
All right, roll, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Yes, we're with Senator Fetterman. Senator, thanks for talking to me. You're going to become the first Democrat to meet with Pete Hegseth later today. What do you want to hear from him?
Well, we're just going to have a straight-up conversation. It's all going to be off the record. It's just going to be, you know, hey, I'm going to meet the guy. And honestly, I've never heard of him before he was nominated. So it's an opportunity to just have a discussion on a lot of kind of issues. And I suspect there's some things we might agree on in terms of military, whether it's China or Israel. Maybe disagree some, perhaps, on the Ukraine, but I think it's an opportunity to have a conversation. I'm not sure why it would be controversial to anybody. If he's the individual who could potentially be the next Secretary of Defense, I think it's, I'm not just the senator for Pennsylvania for my voters or Democrats, it's for all of us. And now we have received a lot of support calls into our office saying, hey, you know, we have a conversation. So I'm just doing my job. I see that.
Are you going to ask him about all these allegations of misconduct, excessive drinking, sexual assault?
Yeah, well, and again, I'm, of course, there's going to be an FBI vet, and there's going to be a committee
hearing, and all of that is going to happen through that. So that's why this is just part of a conversation on all of those things.
He has denied those allegations.
I've read that.
Do you believe those denials?
It's like I know there hasn't been any formal charges, criminal ones.
Wow.
But it's all one of the things I'm sure that perhaps might come up in that conversation today. Yes, but I am aware that there are some allegations, of course.
Do you think that some of those accusers should come forward publicly and put their name on this, and or at least he should release one of them from a non-disclosure agreement?
No, I really think it's just part of whoever wants to come out or plans to, that's fine. But I believe that's probably going to come out on the FBI vetting or in the hearing.
There's been some concerns about his qualifications. You know, he's of course a military veteran, but you know, he's never run something is so significant as a Pentagon. Do you come in with any concerns about that?
I think we've had a similar conversation where it's like when the other side wins, they pick the people. Now, I certainly wouldn't have been in my top 10 choice because I wasn't familiar with him at all. So now, just because that would not be my kinds of choice, as some of them haven't been. But that's where we are. So if this is the individual that could potentially have this incredibly important role, and this, I think it's responsible for me to be a senator from Pennsylvania to have a conversation and to establish, you know, some type of relationship with that individual.
Wow.
That's amazing. I mean, we cut it off a little bit briefly there because at the end, Fetterman actually dunked Manu Raju in a garbage can and then rolled it down the hallway. And he said, get away from me. Pretty wild. I love the fact that Fetterman says that he was unaware of who the hell Pete Hegseth was, and he didn't. And that's the thing. Just because you're not aware of somebody and you didn't have them on your top five or top 10 nominees doesn't mean that they cannot be actually good and qualified and end up being the right person, right? Like, I'm so tired of the, well, this person's not an... what happened the last time we trusted the experts, all right? Yeah. I'm also tired of all the bureaucrats and the people that say the right thing and kiss ass to get to the position that they're not qualified for, and then we end up realizing that they're nothing more than puppets and lip service hacks. So, you know, I'm totally on board with the idea of giving Hegseth the chance if Trump believes he's the right guy. And I thought Fetterman... I mean, does anybody disagree with anything Fetterman said?
He seemed very fair.
Yeah. And he's like, well, we might disagree on the Ukraine thing. Yeah, okay, great. You know, maybe they agree on Israel, they disagree on Ukraine. Shocking.
I know Dawn was tweeting about this yesterday. I also got a tweet from Keith, I believe, is one of our listeners who tweeted me about this. So this is cut 8, Phil. Joe Biden is selling half a mile worth of wall material each day for as little as $5 per section.
Yeah, I think actually Turn 7 Liquidations has some good rates on it as well.
But this is, they're racing to do this.
Before Trump takes office, yep. Right? Play the video, Phil.
Listen.
You can see the video, and it says, Nick, if you want to read along there.
In the final weeks of the Biden administration, truckloads of unused border wall materials are being hauled away from the Arizona border. It's being taken north to a government auction site where bidding for an entire segment of wall starts at $5.
Oh, my God.
Now, isn't that our property, technically, the American taxpayer?
Yes. A Border Patrol agent estimates that up to half a mile worth of wall is being transported every day.
Look at all of that, by the way.
It's a lot of border wall.
Yeah, it's a lot of border wall.
Says the subtitle.
So we had it there. It's all just sitting there because Biden wanted to, you know, spite Trump and did not want to... for Trump to ever say, well, the border wall was built.
You know that's infuriating to a guy like Tom Homan. I mean, if Tom Homan has seen that clip, and I'm sure he's been briefed on it and told about it, that probably has to make his blood boil. And by the way, who actually is buying the border wall for $5? Are they like souvenirs? Are they people that want to finish the fence in their
valuable,
yard?
Isn't it steel or whatever?
Yeah.
It's valuable material.
Yeah, I mean, there will be
make
some...
Make a roof out of that.
Yeah.
No, so there
make
are
make a wall out of it.
Yeah, wall out of it. It's pretty cool.
Make a wall. We're going to use the wall to make a wall.
But I mean, there are reportedly, you know, there are even really wealthy people saying, "Hey, I'm going to go to the auction, buy as much as I can, or send somebody there to, and then just give it back." you know.
I always go back to that video I've seen for 2.5 years now of how big the wall is, I believe, along the Egyptian border. Mm. And, I mean, it is, it's a monstrosity.
Yep.
It's Trump has wet dreams thinking of a wall like that. And it's the wall that we deserve as American citizens to keep illegal immigrants, especially the ones with sinister intentions, out of our country.
Well, you reported yesterday, Nick, that it was in the New York Times that right now we are going through the biggest border crisis in the country's history, dwarfing Ellis Island.
Yes,
all the
1850s.
All of our grandparents and great grandparents who came over from on Ellis Island legally, by the way.
Yes.
It dwarfs in comparison to that. So
yes.
Kudos to
everybody that arrived on Ellis Island on a boat, looking up at the Statue of Liberty and being sitting there. I'm having flashbacks to I forget the name of the movie where it's pouring out and they're looking up because they've made it to their land of destiny and go on to create a great life for their
Titanic
family.
No,
it was nothing near Titanic, but that would be Kate Winslet looking up at the thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Tom Homan.
Good pull by you, by the way.
I think you mentioned this yesterday, Nick Kale, about what Tom Homan said about Chicago.
Yeah, your governor sucks, and so does your mayor.
Let's play the clip.
What a clip.
Chicago's in trouble because your mayor sucks and your governor sucks. And we're going to start right here in Chicago, Illinois. Now, if your Chicago mayor doesn't want to help, he can step aside. But if he impedes us, if he knowingly harbors and conceals an illegal alien, I will prosecute him.
Wow. How about that?
Good for him.
Your mayor sucks. Your governor sucks. Your quarterback sucks. Deep dish pizza sucks. Chicago, you suck. Cook County, all of you suck. You suck. And Tom's coming.
Yeah.
I love that guy. There are some people that I wear thin on and the novelty act wears off. Not sure I'm going to ever say that about Tom Homan.
Yeah.
I might send Tom a Christmas card.
He's just so plain spoken.
Yes. Yeah,
he reminds me of... even this, I don't know, Clint Eastwood-like John Wayne kind of a character, you know, out of
the
Wild West or the past, you know, to say this is the way it is.
Yes. He's John Wayne and Hondo.
I love it.
Hondo's coming on, Peg.
Secretary, I knew you were going down that. Yesterday with the Hulk Hogan reference and today with Married with Children.
By the way, speaking
90s Kale.
Yeah, speaking of nostalgia from the 80s and 90s. Tomorrow night on NBC at 8 o'clock, the return of WWF's Saturday Night Main Event.
Oh, boy. There are dozens of people excited about
it. Jesse the Body Ventura in the booth.
Yep.
Former governor of Minnesota.
The problem is that they're going to make this a nostalgia dump, and I don't want that.
I'm all for nostalgia.
I get it, but like you're bringing back old stars that are old.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not wrestling. The new guys are still going to wrestle.
They're going to have some hokey thing. Yeah. You know they are. They're going to get...
Maybe, we ought to do like a
wheelchair their asses in there.
We ought to do a 12-10 nostalgia day where we bring back old jingles, old logo, bring
old
back
hosts.
The old hosts.
No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do any of that.
Oh, it'd be a great day. It'd be a ratings bonanza.
We move forward on this radio station. We don't look back.
Okay.
Right, Dawn?
Amen.
Thank you. So apparently there's a lot of copycats for the Luigi Mangione thing.
This is sick.
This is a Florida woman who broke down in tears after she became the first Luigi Mangione copycat to be arrested. Brianna Boston, a 42-year-old mother of three, was arrested for making threats to Blue Cross Blue Shield over a rejected medical claim.
Mm-hmm.
The woman, who is now facing up to 15 years in prison, allegedly quoted Mangione saying, "Delay, deny, depose. Mm-hmm. You people are next."
Took all of 8 days for a copycat, folks.
Cuts to 16, Phil, go.
The nature of the threats, we would also be asking for GPS with house arrest conditions to protect the community.
With her head in her hands, Brianna Boston learned she would be held in jail on $100,000 bond. The Polk County judge adding the bond was appropriate given the, quote, status of our country.
It's not like she's a child. She's 42 years old, you know, so we're not dealing with a child here. She should certainly know better.
That's a
Lakeland Police Chief Sam Taylor says his department was contacted by the FBI Tuesday. Authorities say in a recorded phone call about a denied insurance claim, Boston told a Blue Cross Blue Shield employee, quote, Delay, deny, depose. You people are next, end quote. The language matches the words police say were written on the shell casings found at the United Healthcare CEO's murder scene in New York City.
We will take this very seriously, and we will put you in jail if you do something like this. Mm-hmm. It is not a joke.
According to Boston's affidavit, the mother of three told police she did not own firearms and was not a danger to anyone. But she added, healthcare companies played games and deserved karma because they are evil. Similar to the accused shooter in Manhattan, Boston is getting support online from people who say that she was just sharing her opinion and should be protected by the First Amendment. But police do not see it that way. She's facing a second-degree felony of written threat to kill or injure, conduct a mass shooting or an act of terrorism, a serious charge that could she could end up in prison for 15 years. Reporting live in Lakeland, I'm...
Free speech. First Amendment! Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Of course, it was Florida, right? In the FAFO state. Yep. She effed around. She found out. And I think I even said this within the last week when we've been talking about this story. How long until Blue Cross Blue Shield CEOs are targeted, Aetna, and any of the other major conglomerates out there? And this lady, and you're right, 42. I mean, I'll be 41 in 3 weeks. She makes me look 31.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. The delay, deny, depose, you people are next. That's a threat, right? I mean,
you're next. I don't know how much more direct you can be.
Well, did she say more than that?
That's the quote I have in front of me here.
Okay.
Delay, deny, depose, you people are next.
Okay.
I don't hear I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to kill you.
Agreed.
And this is not they want to throw the book at her to make an example of her, and that's fine.
Yep.
But she will not be convicted of this.
Nope.
She did not make a threat.
I think in the state of Florida,
she's
toast.
Quoting a book.
Yep.
She is. All her lawyer can say is she is quoting the title of a book that was written in 2010 that is about how insurance companies prey upon people and deny
claims. So if Greg Stocker were to be killed, and then I quoted Silence of the Lambs and told the bosses down the hall, you're next. You think I'm going to have a defense to that?
But it's not. So let me just say this: she's charged with threats to conduct a mass shooting or act of terrorism.
Yeah.
But I don't see, to Dawn's point, I don't see her saying, I'm going to come and shoot you or I'm going to come and kill you. All she's saying is, you people are next.
Is it reasonable to assume, as you copy somebody that executed somebody in point blank range, that your next can be inferred upon a threat that I will be the next casualty in a line of casualties? I think every reasonable juror would sit there and say, yeah, if you have common sense.
No, I just think this whole thing, I know that unless she actually said, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to shoot you, the fact that she said karma and delay, deny, depose, she never made a threat. I'm reading the thing, saying that you deserve karma or saying that you believe that they're evil, I don't see a threat here.
But what does your next mean, right? Like, if I just got done making a sandwich for Bob and I said to Jill, you're next, what does Jill think I'm talking about? You're next for me to make your sandwich.
I mean, she can make the argument. And again, I'm not sticking up for this.
But she's charged with, quote, threats to conduct a mass shooting.
I agree with Dawn on that.
And she's charged with threatening to do an act of terrorism.
Yep. Okay.
And this was not written. This was not written. She was recording because they were recording the call.
Yep.
And she said, delay, deny, depose. You people are next. Now, should she have said that? Of course not.
Absolutely.
No, when the officers came to her house, according to Lakeland, she immediately apologized. She fully admitted, yes, I said that. I was upset. I apologize. That's according to the record. They really threw the book at her. I understand they want to make
the venue matters as well. Florida's a big law and order state. Now, maybe this is more of a debate if you're in California or New York.
No, she should not have said it. She admitted it. She admitted she said it. She said she was wrong. She apologized.
By the way, how did she say it? Do we have it? Is it in a post?
She was on the phone with somebody.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you you know, she it probably, you know, in my experience, you go around and around and around and around, mm-hmm. and you're on hold, and now after an hour, and you couldn't, she has three kids? Nah, this is not going to stick.
Oh, so this was on an insurance
she's
call.
On a call trying to get something covered.
There's a good chance that this call is recorded.
And it was. It was recorded. Yeah. That's where they were getting the transcription from.
I will say this, Dawn. Nick is correct that the venue matters, and where she is in Florida, she could get convicted of
perfect
this.
Example of why venue matters and results are shocking. I thought Penny was going to be found not guilty and acquitted, but a lot of people thought he was dead to rights because it was New York of all places.
Agreed.
Yeah. But somebody, I mean, you're talking about oranges and apples. This woman she has no record. She's a 42-year-old mom with kids on the phone, frustrated with the fact that her insurance claim has been denied.
Dawn, reaching deep into her soul because she may or may not have been through this, right, with your child.
Now, I would say to anybody, anytime you're on the phone, be as sweet as, you know, brown sugar. Like, be the sweetest person ever because
these calls are being recorded for quality assurance.
And my advice is, if you get somebody who's just totally not going to help you, say, okay, thank you, hang up and call back again. Because it's like, it's kind of like the lottery. When you get somebody who's helpful, it's like a blessing. So just keep trying to get the next person.
If she would have done this 6 months ago, this would be a non-story.
Yeah.
Correct.
But the fact that this is all in the news right now, it's being. I agree with Dawn that I think that it is like it's because of the times we're living in right now that she's even being brought up on charges with this.
We've all had those phone calls with companies that we finally get through and we want our bill credited. We're threatening to cancel our service. Yeah. Give me your superior. Give me a supervisor. I can't understand what country am I calling?
Oh, I've let some awful expletives fly.
I've cursed as well, and then I feel bad for the person I'm cursing at because they're just the low level functionary.
Yep.
That said, I've never implied that I was going to harm them.
I agree with that. Yeah, I've never done that. Yeah. I mean, my words may have harmed them, but this is cut 21, Phil. As we talk about more and more of this stuff happening, one of the traffic signs in Seattle was hacked. And this is
a digital sign.
It was a digital sign. Is that the right one, Phil? Cut 21. All right, let's try it.
And here at home, new overnight, a disturbing message possibly related to the CEO's murder. This was found posted on a portable electronic road messaging sign right off of Highway 99, just south of the Aurora Bridge in Seattle. And it reads, "One less CEO, many more to go." Well, we're asking who's responsible for this, which agency operates the sign, whether it's WSDOT or SDOT, perhaps a private company, and how something like this would happen. We'll let you know as soon as we get some answers.
How long until we see the protests in big cities, perhaps in the Portland, Oregon area or the Seattle, Washington area where that story is emanating from, of a chance of one more CEO, one less to go, or whatever that message was, and they'll be stomping around with their signs. They'll have COVID masks on. They'll be wearing hooded sweatshirts. And they'll be purchasing the $225 jacket that Luigi apparently wore when he committed the murder, allegedly. Which, by the way, is a Levi's product. And I actually have that story if you want to hear it. We've got there's the picture. Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm not against that look. I think that jacket with the hood inside is I'm on board with that.
It's a nice jacket.
It's a nice look.
The problem is that it's gross now that people are buying it because this scumbag did it.
That's right. $225 for that jacket, courtesy of Levi's. Apparently, thousands are flying off the shelf. More than 700 of the Sherpa-lined two-pocket hooded trucker jacket were also bought in 48 hours on Macy's website. So Macy's offers either the same one or a variation of it. And it got to the point now where it is no longer available. It is unavailable. Kohl's says that the jacket is going fast as they have sold more than 3,000 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
And a similar style is going for big-time money on Amazon as well.
It's gross. AOC was speaking about this case the other day, yesterday, I guess, And she said, this is not to say that that an act of violence is justified, but...
I'm like Liz Warren, and...
People need to understand that people interpret and feel and experience denied claims as, quote, an act of violence. Roll it.
You know, taken from a diagnosis. And I think that this collective American experience, which is so twisted to have in the wealthiest nation in the world, all of that pain that people have experienced is being concentrated on this event. And it's really important that we take a step back. This is not to comment, and this is not to say that an act of violence is justified. But I think for anyone who is confused or shocked or appalled, they need to understand that people interpret and feel and experience denied claims as an act of violence against them. People go homeless over the financial devastation of a diagnosis that doesn't get addressed, or, you know, the amount that they're going to have to cover with a surprise bill and things like that.
The attempted justifications of this and the rationalization from the Liz Warrens and the AOCs is astounding. Let me flip some of the variables around here. Imagine a Republican standing there and trying to justify the reasoning behind somebody killing AOC, because AOC and progressive Democrats said when they were running for office that they're going to change the health care system for the better of all Americans, health care for all, and they failed to do so. And some stooge out there snapped and killed AOC because she didn't come through on her campaign promise of reallocating the way health care is done. And somebody tried to justify, well, I don't condone violence, but she did say she was going to, and there's no justification and rationalization for killing somebody in a corporate world because you don't like the way the system operates. I don't like any, we've talked about this a million times, but like, what precedent does that set? Now we've got a copycat in Florida. We've got people hijacking digital billboards in Seattle. And we've got all these Looney Tune Democrats out there in their own weird way where they're like throwing out the, I don't condone it, but I don't want to understand those people. Lock them the hell up.
Yeah. Last night or two nights ago on News Nation, the Ashley Banfield program, they were doing a live report from outside the, Altoona, PA, jail where...
Those stomping grounds of Thomas Dickey.
Where Luigi Mangione is being held right now. And you can hear in this clip, the prison mates yelling answers to the questions. So, like, Ashley Banfield is asking the reporter questions, and they're yelling it. They must be watching it, I guess. I'm not sure.
Which is weird because I didn't think they had televisions, but all right.
This is a very bizarre clip. And again, this goes into this idol worship and this weird, I don't know, it's a weird spot we're in, guys, as a nation. I really hate to say. Roll a little bit of it, Phil.
That's News Nation's correspondent, Alex Capriello, standing by to do the big report for us tonight. So it's an interesting interaction you had with the inmates from over the chain link. Tell me about it, Alex.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable moment. And Ashley, I can tell you at this very moment, I can look over my left shoulder up at the top of this prison wall, see through a window, and see that your face is right there. They're watching Banfield at this exact moment as they promised they would. All right, so let's backtrack a little bit, okay? So earlier today, I was reporting outside.
Oh, my God. She's waving. She's waving.
I'm not sure if you just heard that, Ashley. That was them screaming.
I just waved. Alex.
I just waved. Yeah. Yeah, what a dummy.
Hi, guys. Say hello to Alex Capriello.
They said, we got you, Alex.
You're on TV.
Ashley says hello.
I can't believe this.
There they are. I can't tell if you can hear this.
I can't believe how stupid these two are.
This is awful.
Oh, we can hear.
Now they're showing. They're panning the camera.
Let me yell
into the prison yard.
Alex, hold on. Let me yell a question. Guys, if you can hear me clearly, do you guys have any sights on Luigi Mangione? Just yell yes or no. I don't know if they're answering.
One was...
Quicker in the, They're saying no. Go
They're
ahead,
saying
ask
no.
another
they
one.
Don't
they
have
can
sites.
Hear you.
Okay. Luigi's watching right now.
Right.
One of them You'll said. Have to translate, Alex. He's a dummy, too. He
just, yeah. All right, so earlier
this
today,
is,
I
this
was
is disgraceful.
Reporting outside these prison
this
walls.
This is disgraceful.
How can we hear it and they can't?
So it's disgraceful.
More
it's
people bizarre. In Altoona watch News Nation than around the country.
I am so disgusted by this news clip. Like, this is supposed to be a news show where they're reporting live. Fine. But, like, to, like, hi, everybody. Mm-hmm. Hi, prison inmates. Yeah. Is Luigi there?
One of the prisoners was yelling, free Luigi. The other one said, Luigi's watching right now. And according to the Daily Mail, they have spoken to people on the inside that say the terrible conditions of the prison have been expressed by Luigi. By the way, here's the menu of what we talked about food earlier. Luigi's not getting any Swedish fish in the joint. So Luigi has for breakfast a choice of fruits, grits, bread, eggs, and coffee. For lunch, he gets porcupine meatballs. I don't know what porcupine meatballs are.
They have rice in them.
Potatoes, bread, and fruit. And then for dinner, it's mac and cheese, pasta bean casserole. Oh, boy, that must be delicious. And tomatoes and broccoli.
This we have to remember, as these dummies on News Nation are, hi, everybody! There's a person dead. There's a person dead. There are two or three children without a father. Yep. There's a woman without a husband. And they're like, oh, is Luigi there? It's gross. She's a gross human who's doing idol worship on this scumbag who deserves to fry.
It wasn't a bad. Okay, I'll say this. It was not a bad idea for her to because she realizes that they're reacting to the interview. So if she had just not smiled, would you have been okay?
If she had
said to the reporter, well, let me finish. If she had said to the reporter, you know, I believe that they're watching this right now. Let's ask them a question, but stayed in her serious. Is it the problem because she smiled and waved or that she asked?
How about this? Hey, all you scumbags in there who committed crimes and are in jail, how many of you deserve to die? Raise your hands. How about that? Wow. They're inmates. They're inmates. They don't deserve any sort of recognition. Like, it's gross. It's gross what she did. It's gross what they did. I'm sorry.
I don't mind if you are, you know, if she was closer to the fence and could ask them a question about something that you could learn because that's her job to, you know, to ask questions. To me, it's just that it was bizarre to me that she smiles and says, oh, they're waving. That was bizarre.
I can't. It's supposed to be a news program. Yeah. Like if you're doing something for X, or you know, you're a citizen that's you know trying to get some clicks. I get it. This is like a news program. You can't be hokey like this. It's stupid, and it's again this idol worship. Mm-hmm. Do you guys see him? Mm-hmm. Is he watching?
Yep.
Like they're giddy schoolgirls. Ugh.
Goes back to the big take this morning, the violence of the left, the irrelevance of the media.
Sorry.
And by the way, that was the state correctional institution in Huntington, Pennsylvania.
Okay. So it's like, it's not, yeah, like Road Warrior says, it's not Rikers. There's not a bunch of, like, serial killers in there.
No.
I understand.
And a lot of them are just waiting for their court hearing, so they're not.
It's a county jail.
They're not convicted. Yeah.
I don't care. I still don't like it. It just represents the hero worship that we have for this guy who, if found guilty, literally deserves to be 6 feet
under. It's funny you say that because now there's attorneys out there saying that Luigi Mangione's defense, sympathy from the jury could save him where jury nullification occurs and they feel sympathetic for his cause.
Yep.
That's going to be his only, quote, possibility, according to attorney Naima Romani, who told Newsweek. I think he's getting walked to the gas chamber.
He will. I guarantee that they're going to bring a mental health psychosis.
You think he ends up in a mental facility as opposed to?
Could be.
What's the story, Nick, you have? Forgive me if you just read it, but the story of the jurors now, like they're going to play on the sympathy.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly what we're just talking about. Yeah.
They're going to say he's not mentally fit to stand trial. They're going to say that he's psychotic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a late diagnosis to schizophrenia. something of that nature, I would imagine.
Evidence-wise, it's a layup. It'll probably come down to how good the lawyers are, especially that Thomas, well, it won't be Dickey. It'll be the attorney that takes over in New York once he's extradited. If I'm that defense attorney, it all comes down to jury selection. I got to find somebody out there that might feel sympathetic for the guy. One of the questions in the voir dire process will be, have you ever felt like you were screwed over by the healthcare company? Did you ever have a surgery that was not covered? Those are the questions right there.
I know. It's gross. The whole thing's gross. I have more, but I see the president-elect is in the on-deck circle.
And he's coming with holiday jingles spreading cheer and joy.
Oh, boy.
Unlike Kamala Harris, we have joy on the way.
Yeah.
And it's not Joy Reid or Joy Behar. It's the joy that Sean Farish brings each and every week. And he will also tell us how Donald Trump apprehended Luigi at McDonald's.
Oh, Donald Trump did.
It was Trump who did it.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that.
That is correct.
Wow.
He was the McDonald's employee that saw it coming.
We're going to end this Friday with a bang, aren't we?
With lots of laughs.
Yep.
Sean Farish, live from Nashville, as 47 joins us, and I use 47 in air quotes after this.
You know, there's no greater time of the year than to give back during the holiday season. And that's why my friends from the Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're partnering with the Salvation Army for the Piazza Toy Drive. Once again, you can visit any of the Pennsylvania or Delaware Piazza Premium showrooms through December 16th. So I want you to do this through today through Monday the 16th. That's your timeline here. And just drop off a new unwrapped toy. Your support is going to make the holidays a little brighter for a local child. You know, the Piazza Toy Drive, they do this every single year. It's a wonderful event. And you know what? Maybe you're not interested in a new car. It's a wonderful way to give back. And I hope that whatever dealership you stop by, just tell them how much you listen to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, how much you appreciate that Piazza has been the wind beneath our wings, if you will. And just please let them know that you're doing us a great service if you do. They're just a wonderful sponsor, as you know, for many years here. So just find the Piazza dealership nearest you online, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, PIAZZA, PremiumAutos.com. Thank you so much. Happy holidays. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
You know the store Safeway's Safeway?
Yes.
So apparently a bunch of them closed in Oakland because, you know, Oakland is not safe.
It's funny. Safeway is actually the gas station coffee fill-up destination of the mother-in-law.
Oh, really?
She's a Safeway user, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
The NAACP is calling on Safeway to stay open in Oakland because...
racism.
Of course.
Wow. What else could it be?
Of course. Phil, I know you're doing a million things back there. It's the day before your vacation, and I apologize for this.
Poor guy.
But if you could play Cut 15, that would be fantastic. Cut 15 there.
Here we go.
News. This is the news story out of
it. This is a slap at black people.
Yes.
And we are saying we see it, we feel it, and the world needs to understand.
Oh, outgoing District 5 Supervisor Dean Preston was among those who fought to keep the Safeway open when it first announced plans to close last year. He said the city needs to fight to purchase the site to build affordable housing and meet the shopping needs of the community.
I've also urged that if they won't voluntarily sell it, that we consider using eminent domain to acquire it, pay the market rate value, and acquire the site. Eminent domain's been used to harm this community. Why not finally use it to help?
The NAACP is saying the closure of the Safeway in February, Black History Month, is offensive. The organization stopped short of calling for a boycott, but did say there will be actions to raise awareness about the injustice they see with the potential sale of this site.
Oh, my God.
My guy's a little dated on the grift. And by the way, 2018 call, they want their suit jacket back. So three things. Number one, first of all, let's blame criminals that are committing theft and violence and vandalism, number one. Secondly, the next person you can blame, not racism or white people, is the district attorneys that do not prosecute these individuals that send them right back on the street.
Yep.
We can also blame the Democrats. We can blame the media for getting us to the point where the police really don't want to do anything, can't do anything, get vilified for doing something, and then it's Safeway's fault, it's Amen. Target's yeah. fault for locking. I saw a video yesterday in California, speaking of Oakland, where there was, I think it was a Walgreens, I could be wrong, but some of the pharmacies that have the long extended coolers and walk-in,
yep.
not walk-in, but like the Wawa type fridges where all the Gatorades and the Red Bulls are, mm-hmm. they have to lock up soft drinks.
Yep. Crazy.
Yeah. And
so that's racism's fault?
And Safeway's being penalized because, you know what? They're like, your city is an asshole, and we don't want to stay open here because we're losing money, yeah. and it's not safe, and nobody wants to work here, yeah. and nobody wants to shop here.
And by the way, for the mother-in-laws out there that get their coffees at the Safeway.
Here we go.
I mean, like, I'm not. This is not an endorsement for any company. But, like, seriously.
Commentary
like,
for one.
You know, the Wawa coffee is phenomenal. Obviously, there's the two big corporate chains out there, Dunkin' and Starbucks.
Yeah, no,
but you get your coffee at a Safeway? At a Safeway?
Do it.
Yeah. At a Safeway.
Do it at Wawa.
At a Safeway.
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, speaking of Safeway. The president-elect is here, and he can hear now.
Oh, he is.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, all right. Donald J. Trump.
Wow. There we go. Much better.
From Oakland, California, Safeways to the safe enclave of Mar-a-Lago. Mr. Yeah. President, how are you, sir?
Person of the year.
Well, now we're doing very well. You know, before we weren't doing very well. Now we're doing very well. We can hear, and we're doing. Maybe it was one of those drones. Who the hell knows,
yeah.
right? Who the hell knows what's going on? And we have a beautiful plan to take those things out of the sky. I can tell you that. But we're doing so well. The ratings are up like you've never seen before. You're doing great. And we're very happy to be here. You know, Christmas is in the air.
Yes.
Joy as Jill Biden, right? I call her Doppler Jill, but we like her now because she wears a beautiful red dress when she goes to vote. Joy is in the air, and 'tis the season, right? To be jolly.
Yes.
And let me tell you something, by the way. Stacey Abrams is a very jolly person, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I would agree. Very pleasantly plump indeed. I would argue even cream-filled.
Oh, come on.
Mr. President, I was told...
That's not a nice thing to say, by the way. I would never say something like that. I would never say something like that.
Caroline Leavitt and I were having a conversation last night, and she said, Mr. Kale, Mr. President, Donald Trump has a Christmas song, a new hit song. I believe it was... It's called 47's Coming to Town. Would you like to share the new rendition that you've been working on with the audience?
Well, that's right. You know, I have to tell you something. It's number one. Even if you don't know it yet, it's number one. When we first put it out, even before we put it out, it was number one. It says, it's a beautiful thing, right? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. 47's coming to town. I'm making a beautiful list, and we're checking it twice. All the bad hombres will be deported by ICE. 47's coming to town. Tom Holman's gonna find you and make you go away. If you came here illegally, then you're not allowed to stay. So you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. 47's coming to town. And I just have to tell you something, by the way.
Wow.
I'm a beautiful person. I have a beautiful voice, right? Take that, Beyonce, right? You want to talk about it? I didn't need $2 million to sing, right? We do it for the people. We do it for the people.
That's right.
Queen Bee. She's horrible. And she's not the only, by the way, she's not the only queen in North America. Queen Justine Trudeau now has been very loud as of late. He's a horrible person, too. Or she, Justine. We'll see.
From Christmas albums to apprehending fugitives on the run. I was actually told, Mr. President, that you were the McDonald's employee in Altoona, Pennsylvania, that identified and apprehended Luigi. Can you give us your firsthand account of how you caught Luigi at that McDonald's with the hash brown?
Well, this is going to be in the new movie, right? There's going to be a movie about it. It's called Donald J. Trump, From Fry Cook to President, right? And nobody knows, nobody saw that coming, the greatest comeback in American history. But I was at McDonald's, right? There I was, just another day. And I was flipping burgers, and I was salting the French fries. You know, you look at the fries, and they indicted me for putting too much salt, believe it or not. You're not supposed to put that much, but I put it on. We love the salt, right?
Yeah.
We love the salt.
Yeah.
but I was flipping the burgers like nobody's ever seen. I have a golden spatula. We're flipping the burgers. We're salting the fries. And I see out of the corner of my eye, this guy, he walks in. And I said, that's the guy, right? And people say, what are you talking about? They said, sir, what guy? I said, we got to call. We have to call our beautiful men and women of law enforcement in Altoona. We love Altoona. And we don't know what the hell happened to the tuna that went missing in Philadelphia, but there was tuna. It's gone. I think somebody ate it. I think, and you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. One of the gas giants, Whoopi or Chris Christie or Stacey Abrams or one of these Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh,
but good. You look at it, I said, that's the guy. We called our beautiful men and women of law enforcement. I said, we got the guy. They said, sir, what guy? I said, the guy who shot the healthcare CEO. They said, sir, how do you know he's the guy? I said, he's got the biggest eyebrows the world has ever seen. These bushy things. They look like a raccoon tail. They look like caterpillars about to turn into butterflies. I said, we got the guy. They came and they grabbed him. And his name was Luigi, who we got along well with. Not him, but we got along well with Mario and Luigi, right? Because these are great people. Beautiful twins. You look at Mario, you look at Luigi. And we also got along very well with Bowser. They call him King Koopa, right? King Koopa. And we got along well. We negotiated the safe release. Nobody will tell you about it. We negotiated the safe release of Princess Toadstool. Yeah. I call her Peach. And she has to stop getting kidnapped. I went over to her. I said, you got to stop getting... Every single time you wind up kidnapped by Bowser, we have to stop that. But we negotiated the safe release of Princess Peach, Princess Toadstool. Yeah. And we got Luigi, the bad Luigi. He's going to jail. People like him for some reason. He's going to jail. But the other ones, the beautiful twins, the plumbers from Italy or Japan or whatever, we love Nintendo. Beautiful. And the N64 was the greatest system the world has ever seen. But we love Mario. We like Mario a lot better. He's got a beautiful red hat. It looks like a MAGA hat. But he does a tremendous job. And we're doing a great job. Luigi is in jail, the bad Luigi. But Mario and Luigi, we got along very well with those brothers. From fry cook to president, I did a fantastic job working at McDonald's. I found the guy. We turned him over to law enforcement because we are doing it. We are making America safe again. One burger at a time is what it looks like. We're just doing so well. And it really was a tremendous day. And nobody's talking about it. But that's exactly how it went down.
And everybody is talking about your comeback and the fact that you are now the Time Person of the Year for the second time in your career, 8 years apart. And the media is spinning this as, oh, Trump joins the likes of Stalin and Hitler. They don't say he joins the likes of Obama and the second Bush that won it two times. The media spin is really pathetic, but certainly predictable. But congratulations on being the Time Person of the Year.
Well, they were going to use Kamala, from what I understand, but she was too drunk to show up to a photo shoot, right? She was slurring her words. She was serving up those big, beautiful word salads, right? We still have the beautiful fork. You can extend it. Forks out, shields up, the word salad. It's a horrible thing, right? That's Excalibur. We call that Excalibur. It's a beautiful fork. And I knew King Arthur very well, and I told him, Artie. I called him Artie. You just have to pull the sword out of the rock. He said, but sir, it's too hard. I said, you need proper form, right? You need proper form. Look at my beautiful hands. Let's do it. I taught him how to do it. And then he had Camelot. He's a great guy. The Knights of the Round Table, we got along well with them, too. They wanted it to be a square table. I said, it needs to be a round table. But we look at Time Magazine, and they were very nasty to me. They've been very nasty to me over the years. But now they're being nice, right? Because they don't want to get shut down. They don't want to have horrible things happen to them. They don't want to become the next CNN, who just lost Whoopi and Christie and Stacey Abrams because they're losing to the Food Network. I can't believe it. They'd rather watch Bobby Flay. They'd rather watch all of these people on the Food Network than they'd rather watch that than they'd rather watch Caitlin Collins, who looks a lot like Scott Pressler, right? And our good friend, he's a great guy.
Scott's
Scott Pressler. And I have to tell you something. Scott Pressler points that out a lot, which is not a good thing for Caitlin Collins. He says, that's not me, which could only mean one thing, right? That could only mean one thing. Okay, it means that she resembles a guy, and we don't want to say. I didn't say it. Scott Pressler said it, okay?
Yeah, there you go. Donald J. Trump, a.k.a. Sean Farish, crushing it as always. We'll have Sean stick around, 9 o'clock hour, going to get his thoughts on the not guilty verdict of Daniel Penny, the resignation of Christopher Wray, Luigi, New Jersey drones, a lot to hit on with Farish. It's a Farish Friday on Kale & Company, and we're back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.